My name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. I guess you could call me late to the party. Rick, you live in a sheltered life. You're not hip. You're not with it. You're an old man. I don't know. I'm guilty. All of the above. You know, for several years, Radio Memphis occurred. It was existing in the back bedroom of our home in Midtown, and now we're in a whole new facility, and we're rocking and rolling and getting out there. And I'm in here right now, actually. And here's the thing. When you work in a business like this, you try and stay, you know, up with what's going on in the world as much as possible. And, you know, it's real simple to find yourself living somewhat of a sheltered life. I become even more sheltered because we don't have children. We just don't. And I've got people that work here. We've got friends who do have children. And I guess my wife and I are somewhat in the minority in that we don't have kids, nor do we want them. Although she has just expressed to me that the only reason why she would have kids is to have babies. She'd like to have sextuplets, and by the time they turn about two, to get rid of them. Therefore, we would not be good parents. And Lord knows, I would not be a good parent, especially in today's day and age. You know, when we've moved the station out, it's forced me now to, you know, interact with society in ways that I normally did not, by virtue of the fact that I just, you know, we just don't really go to too many places and we don't deal with too many people in society. There's the interaction, of course, with the people that interact with this radio station, and that's a different animal. That's not even a real world. And the thing about Radioland from this this show is that it is it's about as real as it gets. There's really no filtering, as you know, very little editing, if any at all. The only editing we do is just on a technical end, you know, just to kind of clean it up a little bit and make sure that everything is sounds decent. Although a couple of recent episodes were a little distorted for my taste, but nobody seemed to complain, so that's all right. But what I digress. What I'm getting at is I was just out a little while ago and had a run in with a young lady. I didn't even catch her name. It was one of those run of the mill encounters you have with people in this world. You're waiting on something, or you're in a store somewhere, and you're standing in line. And in this particular scenario, she said she heard me. I was on the phone, and I'd gotten off the phone, and she said, you know, pardon me for saying so, but you sound like you have a radio voice. And I said, well, thank you. I get that a lot. And I introduced myself, and I told her about Radio Memphis, and she goes, oh yeah. Are y'all on the internet? And I said, well, that's the first words out of her mouth. And I said, yes, we are. That's what we are. We're straight internet radio. We are not on a FM or AM thing. And she said, she goes, that's good. Because I don't listen to AM or FM radio. And she was, I would estimate she was probably about 23, 24 years of age. Recent college student, I suppose. Seemed somewhat with it together, kind of hip. Certainly a different demographic that I am in. And there's this disconnect that occurs. And this is the thing. When you get older, you realize this, that the people coming up behind you, skip a generation and go to that generation, and you realize that you really don't have much in common with these people. They don't look at the world the way we do, and the way we did, for sure. There are things that they look at very, very differently. They don't subscribe to satellite. They don't look at television. A lot of them don't even own TVs because of their mobile devices. They bury their noses in those devices. They seem to lack some type of idealism or structure in that. And this is just my observation. I could be way off base, but it just seems to me, after talking with this young lady, and maybe I'm hanging an entire generation on what this lady was saying, and judging by her attitude, but her whole thing was that there just didn't seem to be any ambition in this person. Because she says to me, she goes, well, you know, I don't listen to radio per se. I don't like new music. I don't listen to new music. I like really old music. I said, well, there's something to be said for that. And she goes, have you ever heard of a band called The Doors? And I almost smarted off and said something really, really horrible to the effect of, look, bitch, everybody knows about the fucking Doors. I mean, come on. But I said, yes, I'm familiar with The Doors. I said, I was a classic rock personality for a station here in town for about 13, 14 years. And I'm very familiar with The Doors. In fact, I could probably rattle off quite a few bands that you've never even heard of that you would probably fall in love with. Having said all of that, she says that she doesn't care for any of the new stuff. And to her, new stuff is like Justin Bieber. It's the pop flavor of the month, whoever that might be. And she's not a person who necessarily goes to movies unless she's being dragged. I can relate. She's not necessarily somebody who is going to watch television unless she happens to be in a room with the thing that happens to be turned on. But she won't be inclined to reach for the remote control to change it because there's really nothing of any interest to this person anywhere on cable or satellite or wherever you get your television. And that's just it. This is the world that we have now, thanks to computers and things like this. And here's the other thing. We can talk technology till the cows come home. But the bottom line is this: when you get into their head for a minute, these people, this generation, and you listen to them for a moment, you can kind of see where they're going, because 10 years ago, when this person was before being a teenager, we saw it coming. We saw it all. All of us in my generation saw what was coming up, because some of us were raising these children. Their parents are my age. And these are the people who had decided early on that they were not going to give their children the same childhood they had. Understandable. Every parent wants their child to have a better life than what they had when they were younger. And it makes perfect sense. Sure, that's all well and good. But we seem to have gone into the they have gone into the extremes. Don't count me into this, because I'm not raising anybody's kids. Trust me, you wouldn't want me raising your children. That's a bad idea. I'll do it, but you won't like the end result. You might have a kid with some ambition and maybe a sense of self-worth. Because now they don't, and I think a lot of it is because in that day and age, you know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, these kids were in schools where the system had been changed dramatically around them. Education became more of just sort of kind of a going through the motions than anything else. There was this whole adage that there is no competition anymore. We're not going to have that. Just show up and we'll give you a trophy mentality. We've argued that before, and there's no sense in beating that again. But now here they are. They've grown up and they've entered the world. They have become, I use the term responsible adults loosely, because they don't have any ambition, in my opinion. They don't have any, I don't think they have a clue. I think they live in a very sheltered environment. And perhaps me too, like I said at the beginning of this thing, call me late to the party. The millennials, and I know they hate that term, but that's exactly what those people are. You are probably one of them. If you're a millennial, hey, welcome to the world, my man. Grow a pair of balls and understand that you are not entitled to shit. Because that's what this is. There's this entitlement. There's no, well, someday I hope to do this and I'm going to work very hard for that. And that will never change. That's one of the immutable laws of the universe. If there's something that you want, you have to work for it. Nothing just happens. Nobody's going to hand it to you unless you're incredibly wealthy. With the demise of the middle class, these children's parents have been forced to struggle to make sure that their little crotch fruit has every little thing that they've ever asked for. They were spoiled from the very beginning, and they continued to be spoiled. And somehow the system had failed because the world is like, oh, well, they're millennials. We have to take care of them. We have to give them what they want. They're the driving force. In radio speak or in entertainment speak, we refer to that as a demographic of the 18 to 34. It's a coveted demo, really, by broadcasters, people like myself. We try and attract them to listen to this, although I've probably just had a lot of them tune out because, well, I've just insulted you people. Bottom line is that, you know, perhaps I am guilty of indeed hanging this entire generation on this one young lady I was speaking with today. And you wonder, you really wonder what the future of our society holds, because it's not them that I'm worried about. It's their children that are going to be a problem. Because once again, the cycle repeats. I want my kids to have a better life than I had. Although, honey, you had a much better life than a lot of people. Almost a life of privilege, ergo entitlement. Oh, what do you mean I have to work my way up? You know, good help being hard to find is an adage that has been around for a long time for all small businesses. But, you know, it seems like it's even worse today than it was back then. We have friends that own businesses, and they have said, hey, do you know somebody who can do such and such and such, you know? And I'm racking my brain going, look, I know a lot of unemployed people, but they're all in that 18 to 34 age. And every last one of them are sitting there going, well, yeah, I need a job, but I'm not going to do that. And I'm certainly not going to do it for that amount of money. I'm not going to get to drive my Lexus if I'm going to have to work as a dishwasher. Okay, perhaps I exaggerate. But that's just it. You got kids that have this idea that when they go through college and they come out with some type of a piece of paper, this degree that says that they are now entitled to a six-figure salary in a corner office. And that's the only thing they are going to do. They don't understand that in today's day and age, in this world that we live in, to be a successful human being at your job, you have to do more than one job. Your job description isn't just, all right, you are the you're the file clerk for this law firm. Okay, so you're the clerk. You make sure all the papers go into the right files. You're also making copies of everything, and you're doing all that. You're the paper monkey. You're the guy. You're the jockey. You're the copier jockey. And then there's, okay, I need you to write this up for me. And then I need you to start answering some of the phone calls around here. Oh, and I need you to go take care of the mail. And listen, got a big lunch meeting today with several clients. So I'm going to send you out to bring back lunch.
Oh, that's not in my job description. Oh, where's my corner office? I wear a coat and tie every day.
Shut up. You got to work your way up. Nobody's just going to hand it to you because we don't know who you are. You have to be flexible. You have to be able to do what is required. And when you talk to some of these people, you just kind of shake your head. It's like, I don't understand risk and reward. We had a very similar situation here at Radio Memphis in the early days, and there were a couple of folks that were here. And yes, you know, we were all working for nothing. We were working toward the goal of some type of financial stability. It's tough. If you've ever started a business, you know what I'm talking about. It takes a lot of heart and a lot of guts and a lot of flexibility, a lot of patience and a lot of sacrifice. And, you know, you talk to people and they come in and they say, oh, yeah, this is going to be wonderful. I want to do this. What do you want from me? What do you need for me to do? And then you start laying out the laundry list of things that need to be done. And eventually you see their eyes begin to glaze over a little bit.
Oh, well, I only thought I was just going to be on the air, man.
No. No, this has to happen. I need you to go over here. I need you to make this call. I need you to do this. No, it's that entitlement. I'm not. And then when things go wrong and you say, oh, I'm sorry, look, this isn't working out. You've got to go. That's when they look at you with that, I don't know, deer in the headlight look. And they have this, well, was I not supposed to do that? Was I supposed to do something different? And then you tell them, look, you're not doing what I asked you to do. It's just not working out, man. This is not your thing. This is not your scene. Don't worry about it. Go somewhere else. And then it's, well, it's not my fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Because we've raised these people to think that it was not their fault. These parents, my age, always felt like they had gotten screwed in one shape, form, or another as we were growing up. And even though our parents told us, take responsibility for your actions, as much of a bitter pill as that was, some of us held on to that rebellion, I think. And we decided that, well, screw that. It's not my fault. And I guess they sit there and they tell their kids, when the kids come home and they go, well, I got thrown into on-campus suspension, if they do that sort of thing anymore. They got kicked out of school or whatever the hell. They got in trouble. And they go, what'd you get in trouble for? Well, because I was, they said I was talking during class and, you know, this isn't. Well, what do you mean? You never talk in class. Instead of when my parents would go, well, you shouldn't have been talking in class, you boob. No, these parents are real quick to defend their children. My kids are not like that. My innocent little kids are wonderful. No, they're not. They're hellions. They're bastards. Every last fucking one of them. God forbid that the schools stand up and say, look, Mr. and Mrs. John Q. Public, your son's a bastard. He's an idiot. We've really tried to work with the kid, but he's got problems. Problems beyond my capabilities. And then the parents turn around and they say immediately, oh, well, it's not my fault. It's not my doing. It's your job. You're supposed to teach them. Well, you see, little Johnny doesn't understand what I'm trying to teach him. He needs some outside help. Oh, no, he doesn't need any outside help. You need to adapt your system for my little kid. Because I'll be damned if my kid is going to be a troublesome individual. He's not going to be a special student. Well, and then the cycle is on. God, what was it? There was a story some time ago, it's been a few years, about this kid who had failed an exam. And instead of the parents sitting down with their child to try and figure out why they failed said exam, the parents decided that the kid didn't fail shit, that it was the school that failed the kid, therefore they sued the school for failing their kid. I'm not going to let little Johnny advance to the next grade because he's stupid. He hasn't figured it out. He needs to be held back a year. You never hear of that these days. You never hear of a child being held back a year. I guess because of the No Child Left Behind. We decided that, hey, everybody graduates. We don't care how stupid you are. Little Johnny can't read his own name or recognize it in print. However, we're going to go ahead and make him eligible for graduation from high school. Uh-huh. And now we've turned these people loose into the world. Somehow they've managed to get through college. Colleges don't care. They really don't, because colleges and universities are really in it for the money now. They don't educate for shit because they're so behind the times. You know, they can't keep up with modern technology as it is. So therefore, what we're going to do is we're going to teach them old ways of doing stuff, tell them to adapt. And as long as the check don't bounce, everybody will be aight. Because that's really, that's all it is. That's what the universities are about. These, you know, these schools that advertise on TV, you know, the ones, I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want to get any trouble, but let's be honest here. They're only in it for the money. They're not out to educate you for anything.
Get a degree on your time.
After only 18 short months, you can have an MBA.
Right.
And you take that degree to, I don't know, another employer who's roughly the age, slightly above the age of the millennial that has gone in there, and they're going to go, oh, dude, you didn't go to the right school. You don't know. Nobody ever told you about being a loser. Or, God forbid, they should run into somebody like me who tell them flat out, no, this is not going to work. I'm sorry, you don't have what it takes. You don't have the drive. That's what's missing out of these kids. There's no drive. God, I sound like an old man. There's no drive. There's no ambition. And because we have given everything we've ever, these kids have gotten everything they've ever wanted. And as a result of that, they don't aspire for anything more. Why should they? Do they want to improve the world? My God, there's this whole group of people in college when I was in the 80s, and it was this whole you go through that, this idealistic phase. You get just enough knowledge to be dangerous because you've been reading things that you probably shouldn't have been reading, but they're, you know, motivated whether politically or whatnot. And you feel like, hey, I've got a chance to really make a difference in this world. And so when you try and do that, you realize that it's a tough going. But you maintain those ideas. You know, there were groups in at the college I went to that was like this, I don't know, this organization for world peace. Great. You know, when I was there, I thought it was kind of a cool thing. I didn't get involved in it, but I thought it was kind of cool that they were doing it. Now that I'm older and I look back through the yearbook and I'll see that group and I go, what a bunch of idealistic people that thought that they could make a difference. But that's just it. They thought they could. Now we have told these kids that they can't make a difference, that all they have to do is look out for themselves. And they didn't give a shit how it was done. Lie, cheat, steal, rob, murder, whatever it is that you got to do this, to bring in that almighty dollar. Because by God, you're worth it. You're entitled to it. You got to reach out and grab it. It's yours. Somebody will give it to you. Just hang in there, little Johnny. So you're 35 years old and you're living with your mother. We've all had to do that too. But still, here's the thing. There are, and I'm going to try and be optimistic about this. I'm trying to be, please. There are some positive things to take away from the millennial generation. Well, first of all, let's hope we don't repeat that. So, secondly, their vision of the world is quite a bit different. It's drastically different than what we had. I don't know that they understand it all completely. These are people who think that Kanye West made some guy Paul McCartney famous. Remember that meme going around? I don't know how true it was, but it made me laugh. Like this young lady today who said, have you ever heard of a band called The Doors? Mm-hmm. Right. I got a question once, one time when I was in classic rock, late night, this young kid called up and wanted to settle a bet with his bud and said that he had heard that John Lennon was in a band called the Beatles. Could he verify that for me? Yeah, well, that's going to happen. I mean, you're always going to run into that sort of thing as you get older, and you see that, you know, there is generational differences, of course. You know, my family would always look at the rock and roll music and the things that I was listening to at the time, and they go, oh, that's just noise, it's horrible, you know. And I look at with the new stuff that's coming out now, and I go, oh my God, it's just horrible, some of it, you know. And I start feeling like I'm my old man now. I'll catch myself sitting in certain ways that my dad does, you know, and it's like, oh my God, I'm turning into this guy. I'm like a weirdly younger version of my father with long hair and questionable facial hair. It's just this whole thing. But my father wouldn't launch into a tirade like this or get into podcasting or get onto the internet aside from, I don't know, passing around jokes. You know, this is a man whose generation thought it was kind of cool that you could fax a joke from one office to the next. Remember, you know, those cartoons and stuff. Oh, that came in the fax today. And then the email came around and the whole chain mail thing. And then it was just a whole different world. And my father and my mother in their 80s now, and they look at what I have done and what I've created and what I do, and they've just quit trying to understand it. They just like, I don't know what he does. This is his thing. It's his job. He ain't making any money for it. I don't know. I think he's ridiculous. I don't get it. And that's fine. It's not that they don't have to get it. But they see that there is ambition. They see that there is drive. They instilled that into me. They always said, look, you know, I will do what I can to give you a better life than what I had when I was your age. But I want you to be able to do the same. I want you to have a better life that I have now. Do what you want to do. Work very hard at it. But don't get into show business. Yeah, I got that lecture. Yeah, Mom, no problem, Mom. I'm not going to get into this. Man, I came home. Yeah, I went to a radio station. Oh, no. There he goes. Dad, we did the best we could with him. But I'm afraid that he's going to have to be an outcast of our family. As long as he has ambition, I would say, you know, as long as he has some type of drive, if he has some reason to wake up every day to do what he does, that's a good thing. Instead of waking up going, gee, I wonder what somebody owes me today. Let me tell you people something. And if you're in this millennial group and I haven't pissed you off yet, thank you for being this deep into it. But let me tell you something. Ain't nobody owe you shit. Nobody owes you a damn thing. Nobody even owes you an explanation. If you haven't figured it out by now, then, you know, you got to learn. You got to look, there's no excuse for a poor education. It's not fathomable to me. Everywhere in the free world, we have access to vast libraries, storages of collective human knowledge. And it's in this country, it's in the palm of our hands. You're probably listening to this podcast on a device that is capable of answering any question you have. You know, I've made mention of this before about the University of YouTube, because it really is that. You get some new piece of software or new equipment or something that you're really kind of interested in, and you look. I said, let me look it up on YouTube. Somebody's bound to have some information on this. And you look at it, and there's a 9-year-old who's telling you how this works. Okay, that's a humbling experience, but the kid understands it because it was developed for him, probably by him. Google was invented by two kids. Two very wealthy kids now, but they were kids. Look at Facebook. Zuckerberg. You know, he's a wealthy dude. He figured it out. It was all based in narcissism, too. That was the whole point of Facebook. It was all narcissism thing. And you know, now he speaks fluent Chinese. He's smart because the Chinese already own 2/3 of this country, and he's right there with them. He's going to do business with these people. He's sort of figured it out. Would he be considered a millennial? He's on the high end of it. He's like on the tail end of it, you know, if you will. He's almost aged himself out of the whole millennial thing. I mean, I'm talking about the people that are probably 10, 15 years younger than him. The people that are turning loose into society. They have no ambition for politics, thank God, which means that eventually nobody's going to want that job. A lot of them don't want to go to law school, rightfully so. A lot of them don't want to become doctors or nurses. They want to work in the arts. They want to work in entertainment to a certain extent. I mean, there are children out there, there are 14, 15, 18-year-old, 20-year-old kids that are making millions of dollars on YouTube for turning out weird bits of content that their people find amusing. And here's the thing. You got companies that try and emulate that because they want to be hip and they want to try and appeal to that. And the problem is that those people, these millennials, look at people like me and you as being, oh, he doesn't get it, man. He is out of the loop. And it was always something kind of comical. And I remember seeing this in some of the corporate meetings that I had when you had your boss, your general manager of the company, and he would sit there and he would try and say things that were hip and groovy. He was trying to appeal to somebody. It's like, you look ridiculous. Because when we were those kids, when we were that age, and we saw older people making those types of comments, we're like, oh, what a loser. It's no different. It really isn't any different. So it's a matter of finding our place in all of this. And I think that's the point that we have to try and make. And do I accept the millennials? Do I have a choice? I guess I'm going to have to. Maybe they will offer something to us. Maybe they can come up with a way to really kind of stumble onto something and say, let's look at it this way. And we all might pause for just a moment and go, you know what? I think Junior's got a point. Ah, fuck, who am I kidding? Here's what's coming up on the next edition from Radioland. I get asked every once in a while by folks, you know, how is it that you do what you do? for those that are interested in how, you know, From Radioland is produced, I thought maybe this would be a good time to you know, get a peek into how this whole thing kind of grew and where it came from. But yeah, we've put this out every week for a year, 52 weeks of this show. And over the course of this year, I've learned a great deal, many things. I'd never done a podcast before, so it just seemed like a natural fit for a guy who's in the radio business to sit down, turn a mic on, and start running his mouth about something. And Jeff Janowitz and I were talking about podcasting, and he talked me into it. So it's really all his fault. If you got a problem with that, take it up with Mr. Jeff Janowitz.
Radio Memphis is an internet broadcasting service provided by PirateRadioStudios.com, Memphis, Tennessee, USA.
So whether or not the millennials drive the bus, I guess is strictly up to everybody else. And if that's what we want, then, you know, go for it. I mean, if they wake up one day and have a moment of ambition or a moment of drive, then perhaps we can take a moment and give them a second guess and see what it is. But in the meantime, nope, that's it. That's all I got. That's... We'll just leave it at that, kids these days. So there you go. Once again, my thanks to everybody who has subscribed to this podcast. If you like what you heard, please share it with everybody that you know. Got some stuff coming up, of course, next year with the I say next year because it's January 2015. I'm talking about next year for the show. We're coming into the anniversary of this thing, and I'm still trying to work something out. I don't know yet. I've got too much going on right now. I can't even think. Got all these people in my way. They're all wanting something. Sticking our ads out because they're entitled to it. So we're trying to put something together. We'll let you know as we move along. In the meantime, you can find me at radio-memphis.com Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to about 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, sometimes about 2 or so. Sunday nights, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. for the Booze Blues Show. A little plug for the radio station because, you know, hey, I work there, and I'm a bit of a whore when it comes to this sort of thing. So if you hadn't yet enough of me here, then you can catch me live. How about that? So... there you go. Once again, thank you so much. If you need more information on where to find this podcast, if you're on a device other than an iTunes-enabled device, we got you covered. Yeah, buddy. You can download it off of our website at radio-memphis.com. The written home of this podcast is rickcheddar.blogspot.com, all hosted through Podbean. Wonderful people looking to get a podcast together. I recommend Podbean. They're good people. So there you go. That's it. Thanks. You heard what's coming up next time. We'll see you then. Y'all take care. Once again, I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.